This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
The weekend's nearly here. I'm not sure if you've adjusted yet to turning your clocks back. For me, on the overnight schedule, I actually don't mind it. I prefer to see daylight at some point before I go to bed. And so it's actually nice to have the sun coming up now as I'm driving home in the morning. Though, of course, that will change as we get closer to December 21st and the winter solstice. But the warm weather has been crazy. Like, that's the part that is throwing me off. Not so much turning the clocks back, even though it is getting darker earlier in my New Jersey neighborhood, and obviously different places around the country. You're all dealing with it in your own ways. But, oh my gosh, and the stupid neighbor's light comes on now before 5 o'clock. It's just, it's brutal. The town's supposed to be on it. But the hot weather this week, I was out on Wednesday, so I didn't work Tuesday night, was out on Wednesday raking leaves, and I was in shorts and a tank top. It was 80-something degrees out, and I was sweating like crazy doing the leaves. But yeah, that was a little odd. I know those of you in the lower half of the United States, you deal with that on a regular basis, but I am not used to that. I prefer my cold, crisp mornings, going to bed with multiple blankets. We've turned on the heat a couple of times. We've had temps in the 30s at night. I don't think we've had a hard frost yet, but definitely had some temps down in the 30s. And so the heat has kicked on a little bit because my husband is a thin weather Texas dude, thin-skinned, warm weather Texas dude, I should say. Sometimes the heat has to come on, though he's been pretty hardy. I'll say when it gets down below 60, I don't feel the need to be wearing 7 layers inside the house either. But anyway, it's been an odd week, an odd fall at the outset. And last week was actually really funny. So I've wanted to tell you this story and just haven't had this opportunity. But now going into the weekend, I feel like it's the right time. We're going mountain climbing last weekend. We did. I don't even think I shared any photos. I'll try to do that. But we went mountain climbing in the Catskills, which are upstate New York, for those of you who aren't familiar. And we climbed a couple of peaks that are over 3,500 feet. So good workout. Really enjoy this hike. I'd done it 2 years ago with a friend of mine and wanted my other half to go with me. He was game. So we were good to go. Great views on top of the mountains, really challenging rock scrambles. So we enjoyed it. But we knew, well, I knew that it was going to be about a 9.5 mile day. And so for that reason, to try to drive the hour and 40 minutes there on Saturday morning felt like a tough way to start. So instead, we decided we would go camping. So we found an Airbnb. They actually call it glamping. So it'd be my first time glamping. But we were in a tent. And there was a bed in the tent, so I guess that's where the glamour camping comes in. There was also power in the tent, so a couple of lights in there as well. And I assumed, well, I actually thought that I had read it, but I was wrong. I assumed that because there was power in the tent, that there would be a heater in the tent. And so I told my husband, who, again, is a more warm weather, fair weather dude, don't worry. I'll bring an extra blanket because temps were dropping down into the low 30s. Don't worry, I'll bring an extra blanket, but there's heat in the tent, so we'll be fine. Oh, we get there, we walk in, there's no heat in the tent. Whoopsie. Good thing we brought the extra blanket. So I try to convince him it's going to be fine. I have my keys. If you need to go sleep in the vehicle, you can. So that part was funny. And so we're trying to improvise, and I'm trying to convince him it's going to be all right. He was a great sport. And I said, well, what about a campfire? We can just have the campfire going. We love s'mores. So we thought we would roast some s'mores because that's what we did on our mini moon going back to last year. We got married. We went away for a couple of nights and there was a fire pit. So we were doing s'mores. So we thought we'd do s'mores and then keep the campfire going. And that would be a great way to stay warm until we were diving under the covers. And then we'd be fine. Well, there's a burn ban in New York and New Jersey because we've gone about 2 months, would you say, guys? About 2 months with negligible rain. The only day it's rained in my neighborhood in the last 2 months, the day I ran a half marathon, of course, because that has to be the day that it rains.
Maybe three.
3 months?
Yeah, possibly.
I know that underneath the leaves that I raked, our lawn is completely dead. It's dried out. It's brown. It generally stays green through the kind of cooler temps of the fall, but it's awful. And it's really bad enough that the entire state of New Jersey is under burn ban, and I think a good portion of New York as well. In fact, there are red flag warnings, for those of you who know what they are, because with high winds added to the mix, it's a very high risk of fire. Say someone drops a cigarette that's still lit or throws I don't know why you would throw a match, but just trying to be really careful. Wires, that kind of stuff. You just have to be really careful because one little spark can set off a major fire and it can turn into a wildfire. Of course, lots of places in the country deal with those. So we were going to use the campfire option to warm up the area, but then realized can't do that either. So in order to improvise, because we were not willing to let go of the s'mores, I just posted this photo online at A-Law Radio. I'm going to let you go and look at how we improvised while we were camping last weekend, because sometimes life throws you a burn ban and you have to be creative. So you guys can check that out again at A-Law Radio, and I'll try to share some photos of our hike, but also I'll throw the photo up on Facebook as well. So yes, the blankets were plentiful. We were good. Here's something that I wasn't expecting, though. Maybe this is why there was no heat in the tent. Although my husband said if I had told him there was no heat, he would have brought his own space heater. But we were falling asleep. I was really exhausted because I hadn't slept much on Friday. And all of a sudden, there's footsteps. I can hear footsteps outside. Now, it's really crunchy outside because there's leaves down everywhere. Most of the leaves are down off the trees now in the Northeast. And I'm hearing footsteps. And I'm like, babe, there's somebody out there. There we were in a really wooded area, but in the distance, probably I would say, 400 to 500 yards away, there were other homes. So you could see the lights, but you couldn't see in their windows or anything like that. I couldn't see their driveways. You could just see the tops of their homes and their lights. So we're out there. Oh, and there's a separate little tent where you could use the bathroom. So you had to leave the tent to go out and go to the bathroom. And that was also scary considering the fact that there were footsteps. So I wake him up. I'm like, babe. And he sits straight. I'm like, there's someone out there. He sits straight up. We hear the footsteps, very clear footsteps, crunching in the leaves, crunch, 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 crunch. And then what it feels like they come right up to the tent. So there's flaps over the top of the tent. You can't see in the sides with the windows. And there's a pause and then crunch, 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 crunch. Whoever it was walked away. So I'm a little nervous now about sleeping. I'm feeling very exposed. There is a zipper door on the tent, but no lock, of course. So I'm thinking, I can't go to sleep. Somebody could zip that from the outside and walk right in. I'm not sure this is why the hanger was left in the tent, but inside the tent, there was a hanger. So I asked my husband to finagle it. So at least it was hooked onto a hook inside the tent and then the zipper handle or the zipper tab. Again, I don't know how long it would have prevented an intruder from coming into the tent, but at least it would have given us notice so we could get up and wake up and be ready for the intruder. So I'm nervous to fall asleep now. And I guess I do. I kind of doze off. But every time I wake up, I'm listening. It's windy, so you can't always hear what's happening outside. So about 5 o'clock in the morning, it's not quite light yet, but it's closer. But we have to get up. We have to go use the bathroom. And so that means getting out of the tent. So, okay, we get out there. We're fine. There's no boogeyman at this point. We don't see anyone. Well, it's pitch black. Not quite pitch black, but it wasn't light out. And we get back in the tent safely. We reconnect the hanger. And then my husband falls asleep. I can hear him. I can hear how he's breathing. And all of a sudden, crunch, 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 crunch. And then it's a crunch, crunch, crunch. Like it's someone's running out there. So I'm nervous. My hand's poised. I'm about to hit him and wake him up again. Crunch, crunch, crunch. Then there's another set of footprints. Crunch, 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 crunch. And they stop and they get close and they walk away then. And you can hear them recede. Okay, well, I wasn't going back to sleep at this point. So it's 5 o'clock in the morning. There's no way. I have to be vigilant because my husband's sleeping. So 6:30, 6:45, the alarm goes off. I've been laying there the whole time just listening. Come out of the tent, finally feel safe. We unhook the hanger. We zip up. You know, it's cold out there, by the way, so we had to bundle up and still no campfire. And we walk out. We're outside getting some water, I think, whatever we were doing, maybe loading stuff back in the car. And we hear this crunch, crunch, crunch off in the distance beyond the tent. Do you know what it was? A very large buck is out there walking around. So that must have been either he was there all night or there were some other deer out there as well. I'm telling you, it sounded just like a human. It was too light-footed to be a bear, so we knew it wasn't that, because they're probably not all hibernating at this point. So it wasn't a bear lumbering around, but it sounded an awful lot like humans were coming up and checking out the tent and then walking away. And so we wonder how many times the deer, whether it be the buck or I'm sure there were doe around too, whether it be, because I told you I heard two of them, whether they came up to the tent and were sniffing us and then realizing, oh, that's a human scent. Not that they can think, but that's a scent that we should be afraid of because it's also deer hunting season and that they took off. But yeah, at least twice I heard crunch, 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 crunch all out there. And yeah. For that reason, I didn't sleep great while I was in the tent feeling very unprotected and exposed. But anyway, it's neither here nor there. We survived it, and now we know. We saw the deer crunching around after we'd gotten up. But you have to go check out the photo so you can see how we improvised while we were camping last weekend. I got to say, this is not a concept that had ever crossed my mind before, ever. But we were desperate for our s'mores, so we made good. We made do. So you can find that online at A-Law Radio, as well as our Game of the Week. Also, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. I keep getting people who've asked me about the light at my house, and I just mentioned it in passing there. It's still blazing brightly, but the town has indicated they're on it. They were supposed to have a planning board meeting this week, and then he was going to write on official letterhead, town letterhead to the neighbor. So we're hoping, we're sincerely hoping that by this time next week, either the light's been turned out or the neighbor, I don't know. I don't have much faith that the neighbor is actually going to comply with the order until he's pressed, meaning like he could get fined. I don't know if they put a lien on your taxes in the town. I just don't think he's going to want to give up that easily because he was so friggin' stubborn about the light the whole time. So we'll see. We're about to have a bunch of house guests. So my nieces are going to be up next weekend. We're taking them to a Broadway show. And then for Thanksgiving, we've got family members on the other side, brother-in-law and sister-in-law. And I'm really hoping that I don't have to hang blankets over the windows to allow them to sleep because the light is so bright. I know many of you have offered solutions, but mostly we just want the neighbor to move. Is that a good solution? And if the neighbor doesn't move, I want to move.
Good solutions. I've said this before.
No, it's not a good solution, though. Where are we going to go?
You go up the block.
Oh, yes, because I have that kind of money. We're trade our very, well, so I got a mortgage with a really low interest rate. And even though the Fed did just knock down the interest rate a bit, you know that home prices, at least in my neighborhood, I'm not sure how it is around the rest of the country, though I suspect it's the same in a lot of metro areas. My house, and we've done a little bit of work to it, but it has increased by $250,000 in value.
Mm-hmm.
It is a home built in 1951. It was at the upper end of my price range anyway. I couldn't have afforded it now. There's no way. It's 1,300 square feet, and it is appreciated just by sitting there by $250,000, according to the various like estimates that you look at in the town.
It's like my house.
That's same thing. That's insane. And I can understand why that's incentive for people to want to sell, because you can make a chunk of change.
Yes.
The problem is, where the hell do you go from there? Unless Correct. You're moving out of state, because I'd be trading in an interest rate that's probably 4% higher now than it was when I bought the house. So it's not worth it.
It's handcuffed a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people could make good amount of money on selling their house and still find something that's pretty decent if the housing market was better. But yeah, my suggestion to you is to move to the house
to move
next on the other side of him and put in a brighter light. That's my new suggestion.
No, I don't want it. I don't want to go through like light warfare. I just want him to comply with the town ordinance and point in a different direction. Point that thing another direction.
Well, we got to get that town guy in there.
Yeah,
let's
Joe,
go.
Joe, Joe and my husband are like BFFs now. They've had
Joe.
So many conversations. Well, so between that and our new room, I don't think I told you this, but gosh, we're thinking that maybe this contracting crew that we hired is newer. They were a little bit cheaper than others. Now, they had a couple of good reviews, but not a lot of reviews, so we're thinking that might have been newer. So a couple of things that happened, and this is crazy. I'm not big into construction things. This is all my husband, but the room isn't square. So the one side that comes out from the house is square, well, meaning it's perpendicular. Then the far wall is parallel, but the third side of the room is not square. So they didn't use that tool. It's called a square. I guess I learned this.
Oh.
It's called a square. And so we found it out when they tried to tile, and the tile, you know, they straddle the pieces of tile. The tile along one wall, it's different sizes because they had to cut it for a room that's not square.
Wow, that's a big
right,
one.
That's right.
A problem.
Now you can't tell if you're looking from the outside, but again, while you're looking at the tile on the inside, you can tell very clearly that the dimensions are off. So they go and we buy all this tile. We had to buy the tile, the materials, the window, the tile, the grout, that kind of stuff. We buy the tile, they lay it down, and they do it so poorly that not only on the non-square wall, you can see the different sizes of the tile. But on the other wall, they didn't bother cutting it correctly there either. And here's the kicker. Again, I don't know how this happens because I'm not into building and construction. The room wasn't level. For some reason, it was like 3 inches lower than our house. And they swear that they matched it up to the foundation of the house. But it's not. It was like 3 inches lower.
Who did you hire?
Right, Ryan, no, I'm not going to tell you because
Ryan
I don't want
Botcher
anyone else to do
this job.
No, stop it. Oh, like his last name is Botcher. Poor guy. So we have had some serious conversations with the crew. Oh, it doesn't help that the contractor, the actual contractor, I mean, far be it from me to begrudge anyone from getting married. So good for him. But he got married and was gone for 3 weeks right in the middle of the project. And so he's had other people doing the work, and that's not worked out so well. So maybe he would have been the one doing a lot of the work had he not been getting married right in the middle of our project.
Oh,
right?
I would be more annoyed at this than the light guy.
Oh, well, the light exacerbates all of these issues. So anyway,
the house is not, it's not regular.
I know, but it for the most part, I think it's going to be covered up by the baseboard, those pieces of tile. So again, we're willing to live with it. But the part about it not being level with our kitchen floor where we go out to the room. And also the tile just looking crappy. So they redid the tile. So here we are. I'm telling you, this is turning into the money pit. They paid for the tile. So obviously, because we had already paid for it. They wasted it. But before they put new tile down, they put a level of concrete, some kind of indoor spreadable, don't ask me, concrete. Again, this is not my department. They put down a layer of concrete so that it raised the floor. So now their second level of tile is level with our kitchen, which is where we go out. But they're not done, Pete. So here we are. We've gone 6 weeks without laundry. We're starting to get creative, meaning does anybody else have stuff in the bottom of your drawers that you only wear in an emergency. So you very rarely wear it. It's like socks that you wouldn't wear. Or
stuff that doesn't fit.
Undergarments, yeah, that you haven't worn in years, but they're still sitting in the bottom of your drawers, and you leave them there just in case.
Oh, look, a Taz and Moose shirt.
You're right. You never know what might happen. Exactly. An old CBS Sports Radio hat and shirt. So golf shirts and they have collars and whatever. So we have piles of laundry, which I mentioned on the show last night. And I mean, they're starting to get like mountains of laundry, and we've gone and to the laundromat and done two emergency loads, but they're $10 a load. What? Inflation hit the laundromat too? Are you kidding me? So yeah, right now I guess we're going to go to the store and buy more clothes if we need to. But yeah, they keep pushing it back, and we're about to start having guests, and I've got laundry everywhere, including all over the spare bedroom. So
in a triangle room.
Yeah, it's not a triangle.
That's how I think it is.
It's more like a, there's actually a name for it. I can see the shape in my head. I'll go and I'll look for it, but it's only like a little off. It's again, I'm willing to live with that if the room is level and the laundry gets installed correctly. So now I'm kind of worried. They did electrical and plumbing, but they've closed up the walls, right, from where they extended it from in the house. What happens if we start the washer and we don't know it and there's a big leak behind the wall?
Well, you might have these contractors living with you by the time you're done.
Oh, man. They told us, can I tell you something really funny? When we hired them, the head contractor said to us, hey, if you don't go through the town and get the permits, we'll have this thing done in 2 weeks. Again, just like Money Pit. Ugh. Just like Money Pit, the movie. So we didn't feel right about that. I said, no way. We need to do this the right way. What happens if something goes wrong? We have no recourse. It turns out that's a good thing. So we've had inspectors come through. It's kind of delayed the process, but mostly it's because they have done work that hasn't lived up to what they promised us, and now they're having to redo things. So yeah, I'm telling you, Money Pit.
Oh my!
I'm living my own edition of Money Pit.
That would make me not comfortable at all.
Yeah, no, it's a little nerve wracking, especially considering again that they're going to when they're going to be starting up a washer soon, and there could be, I mean, could you imagine just all of a sudden a leak springs out? We got washer
or the washer's on the roof.
It's on the roof?
No. Well, no. With the way things are going, the washer will be on the roof.
Oh, don't say that. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, and to add insult to injury, they do their work. So the crew shows up around noon-ish, and they're still there 5:30, 6 o'clock in the evening. So we can't really do anything. We can't go anywhere. My husband doesn't want to leave me there when I'm trying to sleep, of course, because they have access to the house. And I'm not sleeping because they're pounding and ripping things and sawing things and using hammer and nail and putting down tile, then ripping up tile. So the tile is half done. They've painted, but they're still going to be there for at least 3 more days.
Oh,
I know.
What is the total time so far on this project?
Oh, gosh. Well, we started getting the permits back in June. They didn't start working until mid-September, but it's now almost 2 months. 1 week was lost while we were waiting for inspection. So that wasn't on them. That was on us. But otherwise, it's mostly been delays because of the wedding. Again, don't begrudge the guy getting married. And because they just work really slowly. Like, really slowly. And deliberately, but not so much professionally.
Oh, I would be yelling every day.
We don't want to do that because we don't want them to like spit in our, behind the walls or on purpose leave us with a leak.
Well, if they're gonna that's something. But like, that's totally ridiculous. A lot of this stuff is totally ridiculous. What's going on? I feel terrible.
Thank you. I'm sure we're not the only ones who've ever dealt with this, but I think probably in the future we would use someone who has more reviews as opposed to fewer reviews and just a handful. They were really positive reviews, but just a handful of them.
Or someone that uses a level.
Right? Oh, don't even get me started on how the original tile floor wasn't level. Don't get me started on that.
Oh.
Yeah, just been a bit of a mess.
Well, condolences.
Oh, no, it's going to get done. And it actually does look pretty. The siding's done on the outside. It matches the house really well. The room is a great size. We're excited. It's just for the last like 3 weeks, we've had a big tarp up. Well, it's like a clear plastic, whatever, to prevent dust and paint and stuff. And yeah, so we can't use our back door. We have to go around the outside to get to the backyard. And mostly it's just, it lasted a lot longer than what we thought.
And illuminated very brightly by the light.
Oh, yeah. That's the thing.
Door.
That's why they can work after dark, believe it or not. It's because the light next door is so bright that they can see everything.
Well, they could coordinate with the moon with that light.
Oh, it's just, yeah, it's so bad. All right. So thanks for listening. I feel better after venting. At A-Law Radio, if you want to see the photo that I threw up about how to improvise when there's a burn ban and still get your s'mores. I feel very rednecky, actually, because redneck means you're ingenious. That's what I've learned. And so we were able to figure out a way. And then take our poll for After Hours Game of the Week. Happy Friday morning to you. I'm sure that your contract and your project is going far better than mine. So, yay, happy Friday. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Man rush, shotgun snap, arching spiral pass near side, over the shoulder catch, goal line, touchdown. It's Calvin Austin with his second touchdown tonight. Perfect pass by Russell Wilson, 29-yard arching spiral, and the Steelers build on their lead early in the fourth.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The great Kevin Harlan on Westwood One. Yeah, when we last saw the Pittsburgh Steelers, they had seen a major uptick in their offensive production because, in large part because, Russell Wilson had taken over. And the way that he's rewarded the confidence of Mike Tomlin in him, it's been fantastic. I would think that if you're a guy worth your weight in salt, or even half of your weight in salt, you would want to make a coach look good when he goes out on a limb for you. And that's exactly what Mike Tomlin did for Russell Wilson. We now know that this wasn't a consensus decision. Mike decided he would do it on his own. He was okay. He actually said, this is why I make the big bucks, because these are the types of decisions that I have to make. Now, I don't want to get gung-ho, hog wild, kind of crazy over it, because we've only seen 2 weeks and because the games were against the Jets and Giants. Okay, now the Giants generally have had a competent defense, the Jets too at times, and they were able to put 26 points on the Giants and then 37 on the Jets. But also both those games took place in Pittsburgh. So there's something to be said about that. This weekend's game against the Commanders in DC is a lot more challenging. Even if the Commanders defense is a work in progress, and really the entire team is kind of a work in progress, this is an unexpected battle between two first place teams that are on playoff tracks. But if the Steelers can continue what they started 3 weeks ago with Russell Wilson, well, then they're in a good spot. And what they've done at the trade deadline is add Mike Tomlin, which is sort of funny. Add Mike Williams, which is sort of funny considering that when they traded for Devontae Adams, I said, hey, Mike Williams is not long for this world or this team. And he ends up with Pittsburgh. And now Mike Tomlin didn't know a whole lot about how he was going to fit earlier in the week. They said they were just going to work him through the paces and see how they could incorporate him into the offense. But Russell Wilson, who's generally Mr. Unlimited and Mr. Over-the-top optimistic, he likes what he sees so far.
Mike's done a great job so far coming in. He's been great in the meetings. He's been great in the field. Just a lot of attention to detail. You can tell he's a pro. I've been on a play against him, you know, several years. You know, he's a dominant receiver. He can make some great plays. The good thing is we've got a lot of great players, man. We got a lot of great receivers, obviously George, you know, the addition of Mike, but also Van has been playing unbelievable football. Calvin. We believe in Scotty Miller, too, and all the things he can do. We just a plethora of guys that can really make plays, and obviously our tight ends and our running backs. So it's just a guy who wants to win, a guy who's competitive, you know, and he's determined to show who he is.
They also added Preston Smith, who's an edge rusher that they believe can help them in that area, too. So they did fill needs, and they did that by making moves at the trade deadline. The Commanders, we talked about this on our last show, added Marshawn Lattimore, and all of those years with the Saints, he's been a high-profile player for them. What is it, four-time Pro Bowler, I think, but they're not sure if he's going to be able to play because he's dealing with a hamstring injury. But yeah, both these teams are going to go out there and kind of gauge themselves. It should be tough. tough on both of them. Think when you're talking about the Steelers, they have an edge maybe when it comes to the experience and the veteran players they've got. Certainly the leadership. I mean, Dan Quinn's been around the NFL for a long time. But if you compare position by position, I don't want to say pound for pound, but position by position, the edge is going to go to the Steelers in most of those cases when it comes to just the veteran presence and the experience and guys who've been around a ton, which is another reason that Marshon Lattimore could really help this team. But also, it's good for the Commanders because if they want to win the division, they still have their own NFC East to get through, games with the Eagles. But if they want to win their division and be a contender in this postseason, this is the type of opponent they need to be ready for. They're tough. They're physical. I mean, what do we hear from Mike Tomlin? We make no excuses. We seek no comfort. They're going to be tough as nails. And I like what we've seen from the offense. But to be honest, the defense and the special teams for Pittsburgh, they've been playing extremely well. As much as we could talk about the Commanders not having won a playoff game since blah, 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 Pittsburgh hasn't won a playoff game now since 2016, which kind of blows you away if you think about it. Reminds me a little bit about the Yankees, right? And people just assume, well, they're always in the playoffs. They're always in the World Series. They buy these championships. Well, no, they hadn't been to the World Series in 15 years, since 2009. Well, it's starting to become a bit of a streak for the Steelers, and I think that's the major reason why some would tell you that they think there needs to be a change in head coach. It's not happening. It is not happening. But it's been a while since they've been able to make any noise in the postseason. They get there under Mike Tomlin, including two of the last 3 years. Washington, meanwhile, has had just one playoff appearance at 16. If you guys remember, wasn't that 2020? They won the division with a losing record, right? And then they hosted a playoff game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who went on, and Tom Brady, who went on to win the Super Bowl that year. But yeah, they haven't won a playoff game in almost 20 years. So not quite the same status, but we know Washington is one of the more iconic franchises in the NFL, going back to the days of Joe Gibbs and obviously even further back than that. Jaden Daniels has been dealing with the sore ribs and gets asked a bazillion times a day how he's feeling.
I feel better. Obviously, it's a progressive thing. Rest and time is the only thing that's going to heal it. But other than that, I feel good.
As for Dan Quinn, I think there were some doubts about how quickly he could start to establish a direction and identity for this team. I think there's something to be said for failing at your first attempt sometimes at whatever it is, but recognizing that you can learn from that. I think about Bill Belichick in Cleveland. Now, different situation than what he got in New England when he ended up there. But sometimes you got to fall flat on your face in your first attempt at something so that you can learn from where you went horribly wrong. Dan Quinn took that head job in Atlanta, and he was coming off the DC job in Seattle, and he was supposed to be known for his defense. And almost the entire time that he was the head coach in Atlanta, their defense stunk. And that was the part that was so hard. And so he went out on to Dallas and really reestablished that defense with some major playmakers before moving to Washington. And it's been terrific. So I kind of think that he's a guy who has learned from where he went wrong and has also surrounded himself with the right people.
I did remind the team, and I emphasized the importance of being ready now. And that could be for every person in every meeting room and every player. When your number's called and you deliver, it's a big deal. And I think Chris Rodriguez was the latest to show that he's down for the cause. And I just wanted to make sure that's the responsibility of all 70 on the roster.
I like that. I mean, that's accountability, right? That's about making sure that everybody runs their fair share, carries their fair share. And he's talking about Chris Rodriguez, the running back, right? And the fact that he was able to play a role in their last game. So yeah, making sure that you're ready when your number's called. But that's how you establish a winning culture, is that you have expectations for everybody on the roster. They're not going to be the same as the number one guys in your bell cow, so to speak. But the way that you get everyone to buy in is that you expect them to be ready. You have expectations for them. And I often say about expectations, they're a good thing. When your coach, leader, president, boss, whatever it is, has expectations for you, it's because he or she believes in you. it believes that you can get to the point at which you are excelling and get to the point at which you're winning in this case. And so I love having high expectations and accountability out of the gate because it establishes a standard. We believe that you can achieve your goals here in Washington, and this is a new era, a new dawn. I know fans are over the moon excited, which is fun too. And if you missed my conversation with Amy Trask, we talked a bunch about not just the Commanders and their newfound hype there in D.C., but also about the Lions and just these two teams whose fan bases have waited so long. So check that out. At A-Law Radio, at Amy After Hours, also on our Facebook page, I did throw up a few pictures there to illustrate to you what happens and how you can be creative when life throws a burn ban at you and you can improvise. I'm seriously proud of this. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Here's our latest sports update. And here's Marco Belletti.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
Penny and this report is sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Protect your family, your phone, and your furry friends with Life electronic device and pet health insurance. Great one in Baltimore. Coming down to one play.
Cincinnati down 35-34. Burrow in the shotgun. Two receivers to each side of the formation. Sample in the backfield to block. Burrow is ready. Extends the hands. Catches the shotgun snap. Looking. Throwing. Oh. Incomplete for Tanner Hudson at the goal line. There is no penalty flag down. And Cincinnati is going to lose by a point in Baltimore.
Unable to get the two-point conversion as the Ravens survived the Bengals 35-34. Call courtesy of the Bengals Radio Network. Joe Burrow, 428 yards passing, four touchdowns. Three of them going to Jamar Chase, who had 264 yards receiving. But Baltimore scored 28 points in the second half, erasing a 14-point third-quarter deficit. So was that on Zach Taylor's mind as he decided to go for two in the win instead of playing for overtime?
Zach, what was the thought process on the two-point conversion?
Came here to win. Came here to win.
Lamar Jackson threw for 290 yards, four scores. Derrick Henry, 68 yards rushing and a touchdown. Baltimore is now 7-3. Cincinnati, 4-6. Elsewhere, the Cowboys know Cooper Rush gets to start this week against the Eagles. Reports Dak Prescott has part of his hamstring off the bone. Head coach Mike McCarthy in Dallas, still unclear if Prescott will land on IR.
He's still going through the process. Visited with him again this morning on it, so still collecting information, different opinions. I think it'll continue through next week, so... But he's here every day doing everything that he can.
49ers expected to have Christian McCaffrey for the first time this season Sunday against the Bucs, while the Jaguars have really struggled all year and now reportedly unlikely to have Trevor Lawrence Sunday against the Vikings, that due to a shoulder injury. Checking the NBA, where the T-Wolves overwhelmed the Bulls 135-119. They outscored them 45-24 in the fourth. Anthony Edwards poured in 33 as all five starters had at least 14. Bucks ripped the Jazz 123-100, snap a six-game skid. Damian Lillard 34, Giannis Antetokounmpo 31 points, 16 rebounds, and the Spurs too much for the Blazers 118-105. In college football, Coastal Carolina outscored Appalachian State 38-24, while East Carolina drove Florida Atlantic 49-14. I'm Marco Belletti.
Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Rice under center. Chuba's the deep back. Snap. Give it to Chuba. Chuba inside the 10. 5. Slides into the end zone. Touchdown, Panthers. He spikes the ball, and Carolina's got a lead.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Maybe, just maybe, the Panther season isn't dead yet. And I don't mean wins and losses. You are what your record says you are. And the Panthers are still firmly in rebuild mode. But if they're spending money, and they are, they signed Chuba Hubbard to a 4-year contract extension. If they're spending money and they feel like they have some pieces in place that they want to keep, to me, there's a positive sign. There's some hope there. So congratulations to Chuba. They gave him this extension mid-season. I love the vote of confidence for him. The way that he responded to it as well. You can hear it in his voice, how much this means to him. So we found a couple of different cuts from him. I love the one from SiriusXM in which he was interviewed after the contract extension. And it's worth $15 million in fully guaranteed money, as in new fully guaranteed money on signing. And it's got a max value of $37.2 million, according to different sources. A running back who's relatively early in his career, and they think has a lot more mileage on him. He's just 25 years old. He is a bright spot. You always need, I say, with a rookie quarterback or a young quarterback like Bryce Young, you always need a solid running back who can carry the load, who can help you, of course. A veteran, certainly helpful, but a lot of the Panthers guys are kind of starting in that same plane. I mean, that includes Dave Canales, right? But he was on SiriusXM, and he was talking to them about just his emotions signing this deal.
You know, I love this game of football. It's changed my life and done a bunch of great things for me, so I put my all into it. I mean, when I really mean, like, I sleep, eat, and breathe football, I do it all the time, all day, every day. So I don't want to live with any regrets in terms of, you know, what I could have did or couldn't have did. So I just put my all out there, and then, you know, I'm obviously fortunate enough to be on a team where, you know, I have a great supporting cast, and everybody makes it possible for me to be able to do those things. So I'm definitely blessed to be in the position I'm in.
I think the strategy here is a strong one, even though they've had, what, a half dozen losing seasons in a row, and the number of coaches that their owner has hired and fired, even going back to when he bought the franchise and it was Matt Rhule who was his first hire out of college, right? Was he at Baylor? Where was he? Was it Baylor then? He'd have been at Temple before that, right? So Matt was his first hire. And since then, it's been a mess. He's hired new coaches and then fired new coaches in midseason multiple times. Although so far, Dave Canales appears to be safe. They pluck Canales away from Tampa Bay. They want him to work with Bryce Young. And what happens a couple of weeks into the season? Bryce gets benched. But the thing is, the approach of the front office right now is to try to keep the young players together, a core group of players together, because they feel like they can help them with where they want to go. And you got to start somewhere, right? You can't just keep changing the roster like you're changing the front office and changing your coaching staff, because constant change equals constant losing in sports. So Chuba Hubbard, this is what happens. It's just what happens to me in my brain, my spaghetti plate brain. Hubbard, he had ACL surgery. So that was a big deal, which is why coming back this season and being able to play and feeling healthy and then getting rewarded with a contract extension is such a big deal. So I do like the commitment that they've got to these players. And to me, if you're spending money and you're keeping group together, a core group together, that means that you have some optimism about the future. And so does Chuba.
Obviously, over the last few years, we've had, like you said, a bunch of different changes, but you know, the main guys in the locker room that have been here throughout that, big thing is just to stick together in those moments. The thing is, I always kind of say, like, the players are what make it go round. And it got to come from us first before anybody. So I think just, you know, building that chemistry, building that team bond, and actually going through adversity and handling those things together, you know, put you together and make you stronger. So I feel that, you know, we're in the midst of building something here. It's just taking its time like any good thing.
I want to say how excited we are to, you know, finally, you know, get a, you know, commitment from both sides for the future. It's just he embodies a lot of what we want to do here culturally, and on an offensive side, obviously he's made huge plays for us this year and previous years. We're excited for that to continue for the years to come. And it comes on the eve of him having a game-winning touchdown. So I think that's it's a really cool week for him, and just want to congratulate him and us as well, because we're excited to get that done.
They make sure that Chuba doesn't depart as a free agent after the season. And right now he's top five in the NFL in rushing yards. And Brad Idzik points out that he had the winning touchdown last week. Remember, they came back three different times against the Saints. They were trailing and three different times had to score to take the lead. And that's a major growth period, or a major growth, I should say, but also just a a game that you can hang your hat on. You can go back and look at it and be confident in the fact that they were able to rally and what that signifies, not just for Bryce Young, but for the team as a whole. And yeah, if you're spending money, that means that you like some of the group that you have and that you do have plans and purposes and visions and ideas for the future. Do not despair, Panthers fans. Now, I don't need to see Andy Dalton on the field again. No offense to Andy, but they need to develop their young quarterback. And right now, having one of the worst records in the league, you might as well give these guys a chance to get out there and get the reps. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.